listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life weekly program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. It's Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly is also with us as usual.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
So we welcome all those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. We appreciate you being here. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. And again, as usual, we read our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And as we've been doing the last few weeks, we've been taking one each week. So tonight we're going to be talking about principle number 8, and it's kind of in 2 parts. I'm going to read that firsthand, and then I'll make a few comments, and then we'll open it up for discussion. We'll do it in 2 parts, and I'll mention that here after I read it. So principle belief number 8 reads, "We believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science." So it's kind of in 2 parts, but they're related. The first part is education. The second part is groundedness, keeping your feet on the ground, as I titled it. So let's start with some comments on education. And, you know, and this is like preaching to the choir. Everybody realizes the value of education. Education, I mean, it can't be emphasized enough. I mean, when somebody has education, it raises their quality of life. It reduces crimes. It allows a person to get a higher paying job as a rule. It reduces poverty and dependence on state aid. It reduces teen pregnancies and elevates self-esteem, and it improves relationships, and it just, the list goes on. There's so many benefits to education. In fact, the benefits really translate to a more peaceful and civil society. We look back through history, we can see that many civilizations have just gone under because of lack of education. So education obviously important, and life is about learning and growing. And when we stop growing, we die. Think about that for a moment. When we stop growing, we die. We're as good as dead because we're not growing. You look at a garden, and you know, any time a flower, a plant, a fruit, or whatever stops growing, what happens next? I mean, it's dead. So we have to maintain a focus on lifelong learning. We need to keep growing. And obviously the self-empowerment industry has been keen to this for the last 100 years. There have been many classics written about self-help. You know, there's Dale Carnegie wrote several. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill back in 1938, believe it or not. And one of my favorites is Successful Achievement by Sidney Bremer. It was a 4-volume collection first published back in 1966. It's excellent. I'm not sure you can even get them anymore, but I have a set my dad got me. Anyway, these classics and many others, there's a zillion of them out there, they all have good stuff in them. And the primary focus on most of these self-help books, if not all of them, is really life skills. And when you think about life skills, that's the things that help us to be skilled in life. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? But even going a step further, these books were really metaphysical in nature because, you know, metaphysics is about consciousness and existence. It's about living a better life. It's about improving our life. And so these self-help books and many self-help courses and so forth, such as we teach, are designed to do that. So, you know, what about life skills? What are they? Maybe people are not familiar with the term. Well, they cover so many different things: communication skills, critical thinking skills, relationship skills, problem-solving skills, goal-setting skills, boundaries, dealing with different people, and diversity is another part of life skills, and they go on and on and on. You know, there's so many life skills, and here's kind of the kicker on this whole thing. All you have to do is look out in the world, and you'll see so many people who never learned practical life skills. Most of us were not taught that growing up. We were to a greater or lesser degree, but for most people it was a lesser degree. Why? Because their parents didn't know them. And that's why life skills are so crucial to learn. I don't care what age you are, we need to learn them, because they're going to lead to healthier relationships with everybody. We look out into the world and we see so many people in tough relationships, dysfunctional relationships, bad relationships. And, you know, with just a couple of concepts, those relationships could drastically improve or die, and people move on to better relationships. And those couple of concepts are, number one, don't try to control people. You know, accept people for who they are. Don't try to control them. Don't try to change them. If people would just basically apply that one principle in their relationships would improve exponentially, just from that one thing. But it also takes skills on how to communicate and how to have a conversation without it turning into an argument. You know, I was reading on Facebook earlier today, a person talked about, and I'm paraphrasing, about, you know, you can have a strong marriage relationship even though there's door slamming and arguing and pouting and all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? That's not a healthy relationship. That is a dysfunctional relationship. And so many people can identify with that. I mean, you look on TV, people have poor relationships as a rule, as depicted on TV in the scripts. I'll never forget what my dad once told me, and so many years ago when I was a kid, you know, teenager, young adult, you know, he basically said the best of marriages are difficult. And that's what I grew up with, you know. Of course, his was, so that was his world. But the fact of the matter is that the best of marriages are not difficult. They're easy. Because you've got two people of like mind, get along, who know how to have the life skills to communicate, to know how to defer when it's important, to know not to yell and raise voices and all that. That's a healthy relationship, and it doesn't have to be a marriage. It can be with anybody. Those are healthy life skills, and that's what we need to teach, and that's what we do teach. That's the point of this program, is a big part is life skills, and a big part of our degree programs are about life skills. And, you know, they may not be the most glamorous or fascinating aspects that we could talk about with metaphysics, but they are the most important. I mean, whenever we have somebody, a guest on, who's going to talk about the paranormal or psychics, we always get a lot more listeners. When we just talk about life skills, oh, that's boring. You know, who wants to work on yourself? That's hard. But these are the things that are going to make a huge difference in our lives. And they do make a huge difference in the lives of our students and in our lives. All right, I'm going to pause for a moment. Any comments from Dr. Hunter or Michael?
No, I was listening. Carry on. We're good. Michael, well, maybe you have something to add here.
Oh, I always just love it when other people create the content. But, you know, I can't help but agree to all of the points, of course. But, you know, I think it's also important to remember that when we're kind of jumping back a little bit, talking about education, it's important to get education in kind of a formal, structured way in a lot of different areas and in a lot of different complex ideas. But education comes from a lot of different places and a lot of unexpected places at times.
Good point.
And a slight deviation on an old phrase, but mistakes really are the greatest educators. We learn from them. That's why it's been written a lot about, in fact, that because, you know, a lot of modern societies, they don't punish mistakes as harshly as they used to. I mean, basically, in a lot of the modern world, you can fail and then have another chance to succeed again, and that has yielded immense results because of the experience those failures, you know, brought about.
Good points, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned that, too, because I wanted to talk about education. And by the way, this is Teachers Week. What is it? Teacher Appreciation Week. And one of our students, who's actually in the chat room right now, Jeannie Wexgeiser, had posted on One Planet Community an appreciative post for us. And I appreciate that. That was very nice. But she's a teacher. And we appreciate you, too. We appreciate all teachers. Teachers are, oh, man, I can't even imagine teaching that way, because teachers are the ones footing the bill for a lot of the student supplies. But we're just a bit low on our educational budget because we're spending too many trillions on ways to kill each other. But that's, you know, that's a whole different story. But I do appreciate teachers. And let's talk about education system, and specifically, you know, college and all that. Yes, it's important. Going to college will give you the skills to be an engineer or an astrophysicist or a chemist or whatever it is you're going for. But isn't it interesting that going to college and even school, you know, grade schools and all that as kids, they don't really prepare you with the kind of life skills that we need, that we've been talking about. And Michael, you had mentioned earlier today about financial skills. You know, maybe they're doing better in this area these days. It's been a while since I've been in school. But these are things that need to be taught. But here's the thing. I love this. I mean, in a sarcastic sort of way. You know, we get, and I've talked about this so many times, we get people who just don't know any better. Oh, your degrees, they're not real degrees. You know, I don't have to go to school for 10 years to get a doctoral degree. They're not real degrees. And that, it's hard for me to wrap my brain around it. You know, there is every bit as real and valid as any other degree out there. They're just used for different purposes. But here's the kicker. People can go to years and years of college and learn their skills. They can be a chemist, an engineer, an astrophysicist, whatever they want. And guess what? They still have dysfunctional relationships. They still have communication problems. They still don't know how to behave as adults. They don't know how to protect their boundaries. They don't know how to not encroach on other people's boundaries. They still have those problems. Well, guess what? Where do you learn those things? You don't learn it in college, in a secular traditional college. You learn them at IMHS or TFU. That's where you learn them, because that's what we teach. And, you know, I know people who would trade their college that they spent sometimes over six figures for just some peace in their life, peace from arguing and fighting and having a hard time at home. So it's so funny, in an ironic sort of way, that people will call these not real degrees when we teach the most important things anybody can possess, spiritual qualities, you know, life skills, the things that are going to really bring us enjoyment and fulfillment in life. Comments? Or not? I just don't want to dominate.
Sorry. No, I was just, I had my mute button. I couldn't find my button to push the talk. Sorry. I was remembering as you were talking about when my kids were still at home, I took in a lot of other kids besides my own, and many of them would be 16, 17, you know, years old, and there were some very basic skills that these young people didn't have. And so for the length of time that they stayed with me, I knew, number one, they needed to be safe, they needed to feel loved, but they also needed to know how to interact and how to have like basic boundaries. And I know that's such an overused word, but it's even to be awake to other people. That's a different kind of boundary, not only your own boundaries, but boundaries of other people. And that sensitivity about interacting is kind of what I'm saying. A lot of them had never done their dishes before.
Wow.
Like they had not, hadn't cooked. Some very basic skills of independence. And so I can't imagine, you know, going to college and you still can't cook a meal. So when you talked about people in college getting their degrees to be engineers, I think what's lacking there is that, well, the focus is intellectual. The lacking is emotional and emotional mental skills that
Good
even
point.
If they haven't got them when they were young, they're certainly not going to know how to clue into that by the time you get to post-secondary education, because you don't know what you're looking for. You know, you're floundering. And I think that's why a lot of young people, let's say after high school, have extraordinary stress because they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with it because they don't know what they're looking at. And that's certainly what I found taking in young people into my home. Like I've not only raised my own three kids, you know, other people's kids, siblings, and I've worked life skills with street kids. You know, the list is long. And it's those very simple, basic thinking and emotional skills. So how do you then catch up with yourself? And so it's not just what you learn in your head, it's the application of it to real life. And so I think that's a focus where people are searching. That's why they read all the self-help books. Mm-hmm. And even these tiny little things they grasp onto because it starts to make sense. But in the bigger picture, they still don't understand what they're looking at, which is the mental and emotional development, you know, physical development.
And I appreciate, you know, emotional skills. That's what we teach. We teach people how to behave as adults, how to have a mature conversation, how to not take yourself too seriously, how to not control or change other people, you know, how to communicate, how to think critically, how to think about yourself in a healthy way, and you know, build your self-concept and your self-esteem and get away from them esteem. You know, those are the most important skills in life, folks. The other stuff, yeah, we do that to make a living, but gosh, there's more, we spend more time at home and then we do at work as a rule, and a lot of people have just so many poor relationships. So it's unfortunate that this kind of education is not being much more broadly given. But that's what we're here for, and that's what we do. So that's the first part of principle number 8 is we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. And you know what? When enough people learn these skills, how to behave maturely as an adult and how to interact with other people, how not to, you know, to get bent out of shape if somebody disagrees with them or whatever. When we get educated in these things, everybody does better and there's more peace and the world does better. So that's part of it. That's the part of belief, principle belief number 8. The other part is we maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And this is the part about keeping your feet on the ground. You know, I'll be the first to admit that if we had a lot of some of the esoteric courses, a lot more of the esoteric courses, we'd probably have more students because there's an awful lot of people in the metaphysical world who chase that kind of thing. And part of the explanation for that is they don't know what to believe. And so if something sounds good, then they believe it. And that is not a good basis for belief. And that's another thing that we teach. And these are critical thinking skills. It was really what they are. There's so many different beliefs out there, so many different viewpoints and all that, which is fine, you know. But the thing that you always know somebody who's got a good head on their shoulder, who's stable, who's got their feet on the ground, who's not given to outlandish concepts that have no footing on the ground. And so that's an important thing. So it's not that we're closed-minded, not by any stretch of the imagination. We're certainly open-minded, just not so open-minded our brains fall out. And that's such an important quality to have. So, you know, this is part of your core values, part of your belief system. So this is something that we need to analyze within ourselves, you know. There's so many areas we could talk about. Let's talk about UFOs. Let's talk about Bigfoot. Let's talk about some of these different things. We see what they call blob squatch photos, and the blurry photo of something that you can never quite get a good fix on, you know. And there's even UFO photos that are just the same thing. You know, oh yeah, there's a UFO. Yeah, it was dancing around for me, putting on a show for me, and I'd communicate with it. And I'm thinking, really? I mean, really? The aliens have nothing better to do than to psychically tune into you and put on a show for you? Does that make any real sense? Of course not. And so when we see something in the sky, it's certainly unidentified. If we don't know what it is, if we can't identify it, then certainly it's technically an unidentified flying object. But that doesn't make it an alien. Doesn't make it a spaceship from some other place. Could be, but not necessarily. So these are the kinds of things we need to keep in mind, and it can apply to so many different beliefs, so many different things that are out there. We have to keep our feet on the ground, be grounded, assess things, look at your beliefs. Does it sound reasonable? Does it have the ring of truth to it? Is there some rational thinking to support it? I mean, can you defend that belief to a reasonable degree? That's always a good test question. Can I defend this belief to a reasonable degree? And subjective stuff, yeah, it's subjective and it may be real. You know, it may be. But, you know, we have to at least ask ourselves, can we rationally defend it? And does that apply to everything? All I'm saying is don't ditch all your beliefs necessarily, but just keep your feet on the ground. Be reasonable about it and make sure you have some kind of a defensible basis for your belief. Not that you'll go yelling it from the housetops or rooftops or anything necessarily, but and that helps you with your own position on things too. Any comments?
Go ahead.
Well, I enjoy this part of the conversation where we'll really talk about groundedness. And you know, it makes me think of a couple of things to tie back into a little bit about traditional academic education, which has its value and is there's a lot to, you know, a lot of importance there. We needed jobs and a lot of great things that they do. But as to Dr. Hunter's great point, they don't teach emotional skills, and they secular degrees don't always impart wisdom. And I just recall you can pretty much find anybody that has a PhD to say anything. And I remember an astrophysicist PhD was claiming the universe was only 6,000 years old. So, not very grounded. And it's important to make those distinctions and to realize that different schools, different degrees have different applications. All just as valid to society and to us as a people and to individuals. But also on groundedness, I was thinking earlier when we were talking about it being Teachers Week, and you expressed your gratitude to teachers for everything that they do. It really reminded me how much both feeling gratitude, the simple act of feeling it, expressing it, and telling other people how much you appreciate them, that has a remarkable effect on us in keeping us grounded, in keeping us a touch modest, perhaps. And I think that that can't be overstated. But oh, did I lose anybody?
I lost sound for a while. So, are we back?
I've been going the entire time.
Oh, no, it dropped off and there was no sound. So
go figure.
We're back. We're back.
At least you and I are.
Wonder where Dr. Kelly went to.
Well, I'm not sure how many people heard that little monologue of mine, but Dr. Hunter, I'll let you talk for a bit, and I'll see if...
All right.
I'm here, too.
Okay. I think about being grounded is, it, for all of our subjective experiences, especially with mysticism, is always have an open mind. There could be a different explanation.
Yeah.
That's how I stay grounded. Once we get emotionally attached to a belief, our sanity hinges on that interpretation. And I think that's why, people hold on so tightly because if my psychic experience wasn't real, it means I'm crazy. And there's still these remnants of, past decades of, people worrying about mental illness. And so it's when they hold on to that particular kind of perception of things. So it's just to, early on before we went to air, Fran had asked in the chat room if I believe there's anything truly unique. And my response to that is perception is unique. Mm-hmm. And a presentation is unique. I think that we're always evolving and changing, but it's a perception of what we saw yesterday that has a whole new view. And so I think that's one of the best ways to stay grounded is applications for daily life. How does this impact my life? And if it doesn't, I file it in the, well, that's interesting file. And the other is to know that no matter our experiences, that there could easily be another explanation, but I'm good with this one today because it suits me. And so we don't hold tight. That's all. Let the reins out.
That's excellent. And one of those areas that comes to mind that you've talked about a lot, well, we've talked about reincarnation a lot, but one of the things that you hold out is, well, maybe it's different universes, different mini worlds theory type of thing. Maybe different aspects of ourselves. So, that's another possible explanation for why people can remember previous lives and so forth. So that's keeping your options open. That's exactly right. The other day I talked with a student who's studying cryptozoology, and she had picked Bigfoot as her cryptid to describe and to deal with and for her report. But she wasn't sure about theories and conclusions. And I asked her, do you believe Bigfoot exists? She said, yes, I do. Okay, why? And there was a long silence. And that's the point. So if you're a paranormal researcher, cryptozoologist or anything like that, parapsychologist, you need to, if you believe in something, you better know why. Because if you don't know why, you can't answer that, but yet you believe, then now is a time for you to reassess your belief system. Now, I happen to believe that Bigfoot exists too, but I can also tell you why. There's just too many credible reports. There are a handful of good videos, good pictures, but there are also some questions. And this is just an example. This is not on cryptozoology or Bigfoot, but it's an example of critical thinking skills. Okay, so there's been way too many credible sightings for something to not exist. Okay, just too many. By credible witnesses. Okay, so something's going on. Something's going on with it. Okay, so why have we not found any bones? Why have we not been able to find this apparently more highly intelligent animal, a great ape? Why can't we find them? Well, they're apparently, could they be so intelligent they're just avoiding us? And one might say that that's the supreme form of intelligence. Okay, that was a joke, but not really. They're void humans. Yeah, that's a smart thing. But why can't we find them? All right, why can't we find any bones? Do they bury their dead? That's a question to ask. If you don't find bones, then where are they? But, something's got to be going on. There've been, this is the kind of thinking, we need to keep our feet on the ground and keep searching, keep asking why until we have a plausible, reasonably defensible basis of, or hypothesis, a basis to act on so we can test it. And I mean, there could be even other reasons. Is it possible? I mean, we can't find them. We can't find any bones. We can only see a you know, a little a rare picture or video here and there, where do they go? Are they interdimensional? Now, some people might say, well, that's a little bit out there, isn't it? Well, I don't know. You know, is it? If you can't find them, maybe they are. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, all of the indigenous people I talk to believe that they live in other worlds.
Yeah.
And that there's portals in a tree or a portal through time, space, and they just come and eat and whatever, and away they go. They also claim that there are different kinds of Bigfoot from different families, or not so much species, but they're from different places in the other worlds. Now, again, that may sound kind of out there to a lot of people, but as quantum physics is now beginning to open up as a potential reality, it makes sense to me. My version of it.
So they're coming from different realities. Is it possible that somehow the universe is overlapping? I mean, I don't know the answers to these questions. This is pure speculation. But again, the point of this whole discussion is keep your feet on the ground. Don't just believe in something because, as they say. But have a good understanding of what you're doing and a reason for your belief, and explore as many possibilities. And as Dr. Hunter said, don't form an emotional attachment to a pet theory or something that you really can't support, even with good reason and rationality. So that's part of keeping your feet on the ground. That's part of being a metaphysical humanist, you know, good head on your shoulders, your feet on the ground, you know, keep your mind open to things. I read another thing today, you know, about somebody who is deathly afraid of spirits. You know, they try to smother them or whatever. Really? You know, that just doesn't stand a reason. If spirits had that kind of power, we'd be seeing this stuff all over the place. But we don't. Same with possessions. If they could really possess a person, we'd be seeing this all over the place and have to deal with spirit possessions. But we don't. So what else could it be? What else is going on? Because the evidence just doesn't support that kind of a thing. Spirits can't hurt you. They might be able to startle you, but they can't hurt you. That's just the way it is. You know, I mean, we don't see any evidence for anything else. But we see a lot of fear, we see a lot of superstition, and that just goes with humanity. So keep your feet on the ground, your head on your shoulder, always look for different explanations and, you know, and let go of the fear, release that. Any follow-up comments and we'll start taking cards? Well,
if anybody wants to go on a real ride of alternate reality, look up the Mandela Effect.
Yeah.
I tell you, there's so many things about my life that is completely changed by this reality. So, and their theory here is that potentially our dimensions of space-time have kind of collapsed or overlapped in a way. And it's not just us merging with another reality, it's another reality merging with ours. And, I mean, I could sit here for an hour and talk about that one. But it is something to investigate, and you have to keep an open mind.
It's like hopping universes, you know.
Yeah, there you go. So anybody want a card pull tonight, please put your name in the chat, and we will get started.
And our inner oracle cards are simply self-discovery cards. They're designed to make you think. They encapsulate a lot of what we teach in our degree programs and a lot of things that we've talk about and teach on this very program. So to get us started, Tad would like
one.
Oh, Sherry.
Sorry?
Would like one. I just saw Tad, but Sherry would like one first.
I have one for Sherry, and it's number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit.
Good one.
So it's suitable. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you're a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing's out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. So for you, Sherry, that's just a little bit of a message there for you to reinforce your will of spirit. So there you go.
All right, Tad is next.
All right. Thaddeus, nice to see you here. Michael.
I took the liberty of pulling number 45, inspiration, motivation. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration, leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy. And that's a great card, and again, the key, balance.
You know, Dr. Jeff pulled a card for the group tonight, and he says it's number 37, groundedness. Geez, we don't even need to read that card. We were talking about it. That's a great one. Jeff, thanks for that. I did pull one for you also. Number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you're whole, you're empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. So I think that's just a little reminder for you, but it's also what you represent. So, you know, that's good reinforcement, I think.
Good.
So we have Heather next. Michael?
And Heather, I pulled number 35, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny.
I haven't had that one in a while.
Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It is an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
Good.
Good one. Now I have Star up next. I've selected a card here, and I think Wendy is on deck, Michael. So, Star, this is for you, number 30, greatness to deliver. We were talking about that earlier, too. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and it doesn't settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what's common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is part of being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference. So I just want to reinforce that. What do I need to reawaken in myself? And, you know, we're all born with all those, all those components. It's as we grow and gain life experience, like, oh, okay, I'm on planet Earth and there's refrigerators, microwaves. Okay, I got it. I'm learning about that. But it's then to be a creator. I really believe this. We're creators. We're not just students. That's a constant. But we're here creating a life and sharing with this planet. So it's awakening something in yourself. You're more than you were yesterday, than you were the day before, and you have no idea who you're going to be next week. And that's kind of exciting if you stop and think about it. So I just wanted to add that in. So, all right, now for Wendy.
Wendy, I pulled number 24, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truth kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is a truth in something or in a direction.
All right. Truth is always a good one. Yeah.
Jeannie, I have number one in the wild card suit for you, Paradox. Uh-huh. That's an interesting card.
Mm-hmm.
A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a new set of ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered. Ooh, I sense a mystery there. So I hope that makes sense to you, because I quite like that card. I always find it really interesting.
It's a good one, you know. Yeah, I want to just comment on it, too, a little bit. You know, it's about reframing, isn't it? Sometimes we may encounter some adversity that opens the door to something even better than we thought. We maybe have lost something, or we think we did, and that opens the door to something even better than we had. So not everything is necessarily a bad thing, every happenstance. You know, it's like there's always a silver lining in every cloud, as they say. So think about reframing. If you feel like you're in the midst of adversity or in a lot of trouble, remember, when you learn the spiritual lesson contained in that, it goes away. Because when we learn something, we change. When we really learn something, a lesson, we change. We can be aware of a lesson without changing. We can know that we need to learn something but we still haven't changed. But when we really learn it, we change. And when that happens, then the situation goes away and we move on to other opportunities. All right, who's next?
Well, Fran chose number 9 for the group tonight. Michael, if you want to stand, get ready to pull a card there for Fran. But I just wanted to share that she drew number 9, which is empowerment. We read that just a little earlier. So you're tuned in, Fran. That's awesome.
What? Something else that's a little interesting is right as Dr. Kelly was wrapping up, I actually did pull one for Fran, and it was also number 9, empowerment.
Wow. Oh, well, you better read it. Let's read it again, yeah. Then.
Well, taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm, doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. But
yeah, good.
Great message. But I just thought that was pretty remarkable. Because I do shuffle them pretty much throughout the entire process, and I just pulled straight from the middle of the deck. But I was thinking, because it's the same one that Fran pulled, and we did hear it earlier, I also wanted to pull another one for Fran. And I think this one is absolutely applicable as well. This is number 16, continuity of life.
Yeah.
Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Oops. Sorry, I lost my light there for a second. Stability and peace is assured with continuity in the flow of day-to-day life. There is a reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin.
And I want to just comment on those last two cards, empowerment and continuity of life, and empowerment, taking your power back. This is what we've been talking about. We talk about that in every program in some way, some fashion. But when we become empowered, we have taken our power back. And that is the panacea for about all that ails you. It really is, you know, because we see things in a new light. And just like continuity of life, when one door closes, another one opens. So we go through changes and positive changes, and we go through evolution. And more important and more beautifully, our level of awareness increases. And now we're not the same person we were yesterday, as Dr. Hunter mentioned earlier. That's continuity of life, and that's taking your power back. All right, who's next?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Sherry pulled number 30 for the group, which is greatness to deliver. Then Dr. Darlene pulled number 3 for the group, be who you are, walk your own path, which is fantastic. So these are, to me, you know, using the cards as a tool. This is, you know, I don't want to say necessarily messages from the spirit world, but cosmic messages of how exactly how we're all tuned in together. I call them intersections, really, I kind of see sometimes as all connected on a grid line. And there's intersections on those grid lines. So there's a density. We have a group like this, all in the chat, we're on air, is a density of grid lines. So we're connected. And when we pull these kinds of cards repeatedly, understanding how many cards there are, what's the mathematical odds of the same cards coming up, it's pretty extraordinary. So I want to thank everybody for doing that, because it affirms back to us. It's not just pulling cards for you. It's also what's referred back. So it's everybody now participates. So I don't see anybody else in there.
Yeah, there's somebody would like card 26. So if you can read that. And then Jeannie would like had pulled card number 10 for the group, Michael.
Well, I think when somebody's already pick their own card, I think that defeats the purpose.
Well, who knows what? I don't know who they are, so I don't know if they have a deck of their own. So let's just read card 26.
Oh, I see. Energy signature.
Yeah. Good
so,
one.
Okay, 958836, here's for you. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness, resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what's healthy, remove what's unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
See, and that's what happens. When we take our power back, that's what happens. We change our energy signature. It becomes healthier. And that's the whole point of it. Mm-hmm. All right, so we have Michael, go ahead with number 10.
And number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit.
Oh, wow.
See, and another intersection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, and that's a curious thing, and I know we talked about it, but that's collective consciousness at work. That's how we're all connected, folks. We're like on the same page here. And that's the way these cards work. And it's fascinating. And I've seen it so many times, and I never expected that when we did these cards several years ago. I never expected that to happen. It was something that was new and kind of exciting. It's like, wow, how does this happen? But we get this evidence, reasonable, rational, defensible evidence that we're connected. That's just one more piece of it. So that kind of ties in with our discussion too. So we appreciate everybody. Any final comments from Michael or Dr. Hunter?
Nope. Great show. Thanks for everybody for being here and participating. It's it's great.
Oh, any comments, Michael?
Oh no, I think it's been a great discussion. Always a pleasure, and I love a lot of the ground that we covered tonight. I think a lot of important information.
Yeah, the most important, because these are the skills that are going to help us to have better, more successful, more peaceful, and more fulfilling lives. So thanks to everybody listening to this program live and in the archives. We appreciate you, and we'll hope to see you back again next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.